Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Today, let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you, I praise you, I thank you. I just so love and worship and praise you, Father. I thank you for the privilege to be your son, to serve with you, and to reign with you here on the earth, like you told us in Romans 5:17. Father, I'm so grateful for the great and awesome privilege to know you as my Lord and my Savior, my God, my provider, my healer, my deliverer, my everything. I thank you and thank you and thank you for this beautiful, glorious, magnificent day. And I ask you, as the word goes out today, to touch the hearts and minds of everybody out there, that people will be strengthened, people will gain knowledge, people will understand who they are, and begin to learn what we can do as sons and daughters of the King of the universe. Now I worship you and praise you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This week I want to talk a little bit about why we are here on this earth. I've traveled a lot in my life. I've traveled in airports, traveled all over from country to country and many, many places in the world. And so many places I've come into airports and I'd see signs that would say, who are we and where did we come from and all kinds of things like that. And I've come to realize, you know, that there is only one source to truly find out who we are and why we're here. And this is the mighty word of the living God, the book we call the Bible. Now, as I've read this book, I found out that this book starts with a man and a woman and a marriage, and it ends with a man or a God and his bride, the church. So as I think about all these wonderful, mighty things, I begin to ponder these things in my heart, thinking, why did God make the earth? Why did he put man on it? Well, I'm going to tell you the books and things that I've studied. The average historian that I've studied under has no clue to the meaning of history, because most of those guys ignore the only infallible source book, which is the Word of God. Now, that for most people, historians included, the center of history for any given age or period is the political entity or state which is the most populous or which occupies the greatest territory or represents supreme material resources, and it boasts the largest and most invincible military might. To most of us, the stuff of history is the part played by the great empires of the past, including the leading political, military, and financial figures associated with all these great and mighty empires. So men like the pharaohs or Alexander the Great or Napoleon, those men seem to be authentic makers of history. Now, these empire builders and their followers consider themselves to be the architects of fate and the moderns of destiny. They believe that they were the central force of history and the prime movers of all of its events. But I'm going to tell you, the world at large, and its historians in particular, have missed the point altogether. They have totally, completely missed the purpose of creation. There is only one philosophy of history that makes sense, and that is the one that we find in the Word of God. Now, the center of history is not its great empires like Egypt and Greece or Rome, nor these modern counterparts such as Russia, China, or the United States of America, or any other which may yet appear. To locate the center of history, one must bypass all these vast empires and all these names associated with them and find your way to a tiny land called the navel of the earth. Now, this is the geographical center of the world. And in that tiny land, is a tiny hill called Calvary, where 2,000 years ago a man named Jesus Christ was lifted up to die for you and me. And on that tiny hill, in that tiny land, is the center of all history, not only of the world, but all of the countless galaxies and universes and everything. That's the center of everything. Everything revolves around that. Now that man that was hanging upon that bloody cross, amid the taunts and jeers of all the passerbyers, was before all things. Now stop and think about that. The Word of God declares to us that this Jesus that came to this earth, that He existed before, and that He was before all things, and that all things were made by Him and for Him. Now then, He was before all things, and that is even before history itself begun. Now He is the starting point of history, for all things were made by Him and for Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the history that began in Him was and is fashioned and controlled by Him. Now, He regulates the universe by the mighty power of His command, because He tells us that in the Word of God. And it was and is fashioned and controlled by Him with a single specific purpose in view. Now that specific purpose and design is always a central and controlling factor of history, no matter how wide its sweeps may be. Now every event in history transpires to serve that purpose. Nothing, no matter how small, is excluded. The universe, including this planet, was created for one purpose, and that is to provide a suitable habitation for the human race. The human race was created in the image and likeness of God for one purpose, to provide an eternal companion for the Son of God. Now, after the fall and promise of redemption through the coming Messiah, the Messianic race was born and nurtured in order to bring in the Messiah. Now the Messiah came for one intent and only one, to give birth to His church, thus to obtain His bride, which is the church. Then the called out body of redeemed mankind turns out to be the central object, the goal, not only of all history, but all that God has been doing in all realms from all eternity. Now, if this is true, then all history is sacred. There is no such thing as secular history. No history is simply His story. History, absolutely, the history that we see, when you go back and look at it, the history of the church is the story of Jesus Christ. He is history. The entire universe in its totality is cooperating with God in His purpose to select and train His church as His eternal companion. Now the entire universe is ordered for this purpose, for all things belong to the church and are for her benefit, because He wrote that for us in 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. Now that is such a magnificent promise in the Word of God. When you come to that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:21-23 literally says that all things are ours. Life is ours, death is ours, and the world is ours. All things belong to the church. Now, as the Lord of history, God is controlling all of its events, not only on earth, but in all realms to serve His purpose of bringing to maturity and eventually to enthronement with His Son. Not angels or archangels, but the church, His chosen bride. Now this was the glorious truth revealed to Paul when he wrote, "We know that all things, the entire cosmos, everything, works together for good to them that love God," which is the church, "to them who are the called according to His purpose." The bride, that's us. We are, as born-again believers, the bride of Christ. And we are so fortunate, for those of us that have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is absolutely magnificently wonderful when you begin to get an idea of what's going on. Now then, from this, it is absolutely essential to realize that romance or love is at the heart of the universe and is the key to all existence. Now, from all eternity, God purposed that at some time in the future, His Son should have an eternal companion. Now, this was described by John the Revelator as the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, he wrote that for us in Revelation 20, verse 9. John further revealed that this eternal companion in God's eternal purpose is to share the bridegroom's throne following the marriage supper of the Lamb, because he wrote that for us in Revelation 3:21. So here we see the ultimate purpose, the goal of history. This is the purpose. Now, according to Romans 8:28, this is the total objective, the single solitary motive of all God's creative acts. This passage teaches clearly that all that God has been doing from the very beginning was focused upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, I'd like to invite you to write me for teaching tapes or audio tapes and video tapes. I have many tapes on these subjects, but I would invite you to write me at The Living Savior, Post Office Box 35, Justin, Texas 76247, or give me a call at 940-242-2106. Or I'd like to invite you to our Sunday afternoon teaching every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 to 4 p.m. We have church there at 10921 every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 at 10921 Shady Trail.
I'd also like to invite you to our healing school. The healing school's at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We have it the second Saturday of every month. It starts at 1 p.m. We invite you to come and receive a healing from the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.